Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. We got Andrew Guilford here with Film and Flourish. What is up? He's on his 18th cup of coffee.
Yeah, man. I'm enjoying life over here, getting my caffeine kick on. You know, I like coffee.
That's how every podcast has opened up so far, is you talking about being wired off coffee. All right, man.
It's true.
Today I want to talk about bride prep. You know, how do you approach the beginning of the day up until the ceremony?
I skip bride prep.
I show up at ceremony.
That's what I do.
Do you?
No. I'm like, you know, bride prep is
a waste of time.
It's this pushed construct that, like, we don't need.
Yeah.
We're getting in conspiracy territory. Weddings aren't, like, you know, weddings aren't even really a thing.
Just show
you know?
Up for portrait session and you'll be fine.
Weddings are really just a live event styled shoot. They don't matter. It's hot as balls up here, man. I stood up.
My butt cheeks
are sweating. And my shoes are off. I'm in shorts today instead of jeans. I don't know how I didn't melt last week. It's probably this big light. What are we talking about? Bride prep? You want to talk about bride prep? All right, let's freaking talk about bride
okay,
prep.
Hey, man, go ahead. Yeah, tell me all about it.
I'm going to let you start on this because I wasn't kidding. Bride prep is pretty minimalistic here on the Film and Flourish side of things.
Yeah, I mean, bride prep for me, when I first started and got into weddings, I definitely valued it a lot more than I do today. I used to show up, you know, like 3 hours before she put her dress on and would like film the entire process of people putting on makeup. And I would run around the venue to get a bunch of shots. But I really genuinely, and I'm glad that you're kind of on the same wave. I don't really value bride prep as much today as I did back then. I show up maybe like an hour, hour and a half before she'll put her dress on. I'll get like my drone shots. I'll get some establishing shots, and then I'll grab, you know, a couple shots of the details if they have it readily available. I'm not gonna, you know, kill myself if they don't have, you know, the details and stuff. But I'll grab, you know, invitation, couple ring shots, if it's there and available and ready. But I'm kind of even now getting farther and farther away from even using detail stuff in my films.
Yeah. So here's where I find that there's tension for me. Is some weddings you show up, the space is immaculate. You have tons of light. You have tons of room. The photographer like is really good at setting up details. Yeah. They have the dress hung in a perfect spot. Just everything's kind of like gift wrapped, and you're like, why wouldn't I shoot this? Yeah. And then I go to other weddings, and it's like hair and makeup's done basically in a bathroom. There's no window light, and it's just like I don't have enough space. I don't have light.
I guess I'm not gonna shoot it. It's like,
or I'll shoot minimal, and then I'm like, I end up not even using it anyways.
Right.
And so that's where it's just a lot of conflict. And even sometimes you have great space, great lighting, and you just have zero time on the timeline. Sure. The timeline kind of dictates how much of the details you shoot or you don't shoot. And this is kind of what drives me crazy, even when teaching people one-on-one stuff. Every wedding is different, and that's one of the only absolutes that I can say about the wedding industry. Every wedding is entirely different.
Yeah.
Even ones that share similar timelines and everything goes well and you get your shot, there's still a dozen different things that were different from that wedding versus the other wedding you're thinking back on. And it can be tough getting, you know, one wedding, you have tons of amazing shots of the flowers and the rings and the invitations. And then the next wedding, the bride's like, I don't have any invitations. Okay, it's kind of hard to make a consistent product or have your work showcase a lot of things when like half the time those elements are missing entirely. And the other 20% of the time, you don't have time. Other 10% of the time, you don't have the lighter space. And it's like, it just makes it very difficult to be consistent in capturing those things and capturing them well.
Right.
So I just, that's something I'm still working through.
Yeah, likewise. Like I said, like I've found myself putting less and less pressure on myself to get shots in the morning. I think, you know, back in the day, I would put a lot of pressure to get a lot of those shots because my mindset would be, if I don't get these shots now, what if nothing happens for the rest of the day and I have no footage? Like, at least I have the bride prep that I can fall back on. But it's like, if you think of the grand scheme of things, how many shots of the dress hanging up or how many shots of her finishing her makeup can you really put in your film? So,
even it's funny, even when I've had some weddings where like I have like 9 really cool creative shots that I can use of hair and makeup, I'm like, I might use 3.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I think you just mentioned something about like your mindset was, oh, like if I have nothing else, at least I have except the bride prep or groom prep or whatever.
Yeah.
But it is, I think that's something I'm going to bring up time and time again. So much of this business, I think every aspect of this business should be approached with a certain type of mindset in mind. So like, even if you have great prep or you have like, you know, not so good of prep, I think something I've started doing is kind of figuring out and finding out what do my couples value. Like, okay, and I'll even purposely kind of position myself and my tone in like a lighthearted way when I do FaceTimes or calls with couples on like consultation calls before their wedding or even in the booking process. I'll be like, okay, so like how much do you think you're gonna value like the buttoning up of the coat and messing with the watch? Like, if you get that, are you gonna be like thrilled? If you don't get that, like, are you gonna be like, oh, it is what it is? And I guess you start getting couples to think about that before it, you know, before the moment's passed.
Yeah,
and then
great.
They're like, they want it just because they can't have it at that point. And that's like a whole different story. But figuring out what couples like, do you value? I'll tell couples, most of my couples who have come back and said, can we have a revision on our video, are asking me to take out stuff.
Yeah.
Take out things and add more of people.
Yeah, I same.
And so based on that inconsistency of half my weddings have great prep, half of them don't give me anything to work with, I've really started positioning myself, posturing my work in a way that like it emphasizes people. And so like I can get lots of B-roll, but like a lot of times I'll just have shots of guests getting out of cars, out of buses, walking up to the venue, walking to the reception, and just the couples just love seeing other people and their stuff. And I've had a lot of couples mention that, like, we love to see how much you focus on people in your videos and not so much on the details. And obviously, if the details are great,
yeah,
like we said,
might
shoot them.
Well.
Like, get them. Because you're not just, your couple's a one and done. But if you have a planner or a florist who's making this sick setup and you don't shoot anything of it, they're going to be like, what the heck? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They want to showcase their work and their designs and what they're doing for their couples as well. So like, I just think that's getting into a different topic of conversation of like, bride prep isn't just about, or, you know, bride and groom prep, it's not just about serving them, but like you can use that same stuff you get to serve and to like benefit the people you're working with too.
Yeah. I want to talk about a little bit in the beginning, of bride prep, like not even shooting stuff, but using that time allotted to, you kind of talked about this a little bit, you know, having communication with the photographer and the planner in the morning just to have that initial conversation. Say you've never met the photographer before, you might have reached out to her or him, you know, prior in the week before, but meeting him for the first time, just to kind of establish that connection in that bride prep time, just to have that connection that will, you know, last throughout the entire day.
Yeah, that's also so many of your initial interactions from the day happen when you get into the suite or the hotel room or wherever prep is being done.
Yeah,
that's when you, oh hi, like I mean, so much. I guess so many thoughts going through my head with like the prep in the morning and early in the day. So much of the significance and the importance that rests in that first hour or two has nothing to do with the footage you get.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's that transitional space from like I'm by myself or with my second and I'm about to pop into a room where like 15 women are getting ready and I'm the only male in the room. Okay, I gotta be thinking differently. I gotta be aware of certain things like one, I gotta make sure people are dressed. I gotta make sure, like, I greet the bride. Like, if I just walk in, I'm like, oh, hey, hi, and like, I don't introduce myself or say hi. Like, one thing I always do when I move into that space, even if I forget their names, I go up and I start introducing myself. I'm like, hey, I'm Andrew. I'm the videographer. What's your name? Oh, great. What's your name? And like, I just try to like start. I shake hands or like, oftentimes, like, it's kind of. I want my body position and posture to be like, I'm not threatening. I'm not awkward. I'm not just the only male in the room. So like, I get names from people. And again, too, that space in that moment can have such a huge impact on the rest of how the day flows. Yeah. So getting a little off topic, like, if you know the bride really well, I have just seen and felt the tone of a room change when the bride knows me pretty well and just walks up and gives me a hug. Immediately, you can see on all the girls' faces, oh, he's no longer
one of us.
Some creeper. Yeah. So much of that first hour to 2 hours really does translate into how the rest of the day goes. But again, this isn't even the technical side of things. But yeah, like I said, mindset, approaching that space in a certain state of mind, knowing how to interact with, what to do, what not to do. Don't just walk in there and don't say anything or hide in a corner or start filming without like talking to people and hearing voices and getting names from people.
So what would you do, say you show up to bride prep and, you know, worst case scenario, there's like nothing to really shoot. What would you use that hour-ish timeline, like that hour to do? Would you then go over to like the ceremony space?
Yeah, so I probably do things a little differently than people. So before I ever step foot into the reception space or the ceremony space, I'll go and introduce myself to the bride and her girls, parents, whoever's in that room with them. And then I'll go set that stuff up, or I'll set everything up so that by the time I get in there, if I'm like, oh, like there's nothing really happening, or like nobody's getting hair and makeup done yet, or hair and makeup's done on everybody, and now like we still have another hour to just do whatever, I'll just try to shoot close-ups of what people are doing with their hands, stuff they might be eating, just kind of, you know, shooting stuff of feet, close-ups and details, and then maybe one like establishing shot. But oftentimes if there's like nothing really to document, I'll just go back outside and I'll just start trying to piece stuff together, like sequences of the edit together in my head. I want a wide shot of this building, and then might want a close up of the door or maybe a window, so that like we mentally know, oh, we're about to transition into the room where that window is, and just try to start piecing together an edit instead of freaking out about no one's doing anything or the space sucks. Like,
yeah,
really just trying to keep moving forward and doing something at all times that is going to help you with your edit.
Yeah, I think one thing that a lot of people fall into is that they feel the need to shoot whatever is in front of, like, they feel stuck in that bride prep room and they feel the need to always be shooting within that, even if there's not really anything going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, like, if you're going to find yourself in numerous moments throughout the day where, like, even if it's just for 5 minutes, you don't want to waste 5 minutes of just doing nothing. I mean, unless you're eating a snack, getting hydrating, getting something to drink, using the bathroom, or like having a conversation with someone, like I'll miss lots of little windows of time throughout the day, because like I'll talk with people. But again, that's like, I think that's part of my brand, how I want to position myself, and that I'm not just always stuck behind a camera. Oh, this guy's over here doing his thing. Like, I want people to feel like they can approach me, that people can talk with me. I like starting conversations with other people. If I see something that somebody's wearing, or I don't know, if I just notice something, I try to just get conversations going. Because again, the more you have time to talk with the girls during prep, the more likely they're going to be way more comfortable with you when you start shooting full bridal stuff, when you shoot full group party, like both guys and girls, if there's the group of guys and group of girls together. And it's like those interactions you have earlier on in the day are probably going to transition over into other moments throughout the day. So you might be able to ask for more stuff. I always try to find one or two guys or one or two girls from the group that I can really hit it off with, so that like once we start doing things where the photographer is taking more charge and we are kind of sitting a little bit further back, not as much hands-on, I'll still kind of be interacting with one or two of those guys and those girls, like kind of back and forth. So like one, I'm engaged with someone, I'm still kind of connected and tied to this moment instead of just like sitting there with my tripod, yeah, standing there awkwardly with my gimbal. Right. I can still be having interactions with people or doing things, things like that. So again, it's just, I don't even know if there's a specific title for this topic and this conversation, but so many things throughout the day are impacted by that first hour to 2 hours and how you talk to people, who you talk to, what you say, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think going in, you talked about this as, you know, going in and introducing yourself to everybody. I think there is a lot of videographers that are just naturally introverts and feel awkward, you know, approaching people. But I think if you are able to overcome that and you're able just to introduce, even if it's just like to the bride and like the maid of honor or the bride's mom, like being able to establish a couple connections and just saying like introduce yourself and say who your name is, I think can go a long way. Because I know it can be tough for some people to be that open and like have that energy. And you don't necessarily need that as, you know, a wedding videographer to be this charismatic kind of person, even though I think that you definitely are. I think that on the day of that, I definitely am too. But I don't think that you need to be that. But being able to establish those connections and those relationships with those people and the photographer is super important.
Absolutely. And I would never tell people to, like, you have to do things this way or be someone that you're not.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, look at it like a job interview. Just because you're an introvert doesn't mean when you walk into your job interview that you're not going to shake hands with the person interviewing you. You're not going to be like, you're not just going to walk in and be like, and not interact with it.
Right.
You're still probably going to shake hands, be like, you're going to say your name. You're still going to probably do what everyone else does. You're going to have a couple of touch points, interpersonal touch points, a handshake, eye contact, probably speaking. You're not just going to walk in and sit in your chair. And if you do, and you're waiting for the person to interview you, when they walk in, you'll either stand up or you'll talk. Like, there's interaction. And I've second shot with people before where I walk into the room, they don't say hi to the bride. They're just kind of like, hello. And then they just kind of go to the corner. And I'm just like, how are you not gonna, what's happening right now is going to impact the next 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you haven't talked to anybody. Whereas I said a minute ago, you don't have to be this way. And I'm definitely going to encourage you to not be this way. But being more of an extrovert than an introvert and kind of playing the part and knowing my audience, when I walk in, I'm trying to find mom or trying to find grandmom, trying to find the older ladies in the room, and I'm trying to like, how you doing? Like, wedding day. I do this so much, and it's like, if you get the elders at the wedding on your side and loving you from the first moment of your first interaction and or the bride, it's like the rest of the day. Like, those first interactions, like, we'll get to the reception later. I haven't talked to mom all day, and then like mom will be sitting there kind of staring out and everyone at the table is talking to each other, but mom's sitting there not having anyone talking to her. And I'll look over, I'll be like, do you need someone to like talk to? Like no one's talking to her. Like, I'll walk over or I'll lean down. Like, again, posture. I don't stand over someone when they're sitting. I'll kneel down so that I'm beneath them. And I'm like, so I notice like no one's talking to you. Like, what the heck? Like, why? Like, how's, are you okay? Is everything good? Like, I don't know. I'll just talk to them. Or I might say something different. A couple of weeks ago, there was a wedding that was like running behind. And I saw the mom was frustrated. And I had talked to her, bantered with her back and forth earlier in the day. So I walked over during the reception and she was like frowning. And I was like, so, you may have noticed things are running a little bit behind, and things were behind by like an hour and a half. I was like, so you may notice things are running a little bit behind. And that immediately made her smile, because my face is like, so we have a bit of an issue. Like, I was like, my face showed that like I knew what was going on, and yet I was still kind of like being kind of like gung-ho about it. And I feel like that was just like a kind of snapped her out of her what was going on. And then we talked for like a minute. She's like, okay, like, well, what's like, how's your, are you going to run over your coverage time? I was like, I went like this. I didn't have a watch on. I was like, well, like, just little things yeah. to like
sure.
keep people on their toes. Yeah. And she then messages me the next day. Like I sent a, I did a teaser that night, posted it, tagged her, sent it to her in a message on Instagram. I was like, it was like so great working with you. It was like everything, you know, worked out well, even though you chewed out the planner. We don't talk about that. I put like a emoji. Like, and she was just like, she's like, I know you're not from South Carolina and you're in Virginia, but like, I'm recommending you to everyone. Like, you were just easy to work with. You like calmed their nerves. And I'm just like, I'm not thinking that in those moments, but like, I know my little interactions from the beginning of the day can allow me to speak into moments and spaces later on in the day that most videographers probably wouldn't be like, I'm going to go up and talk to the mom. She looks pissed.
Yeah.
Let me go joke with her. But yeah, it's just so much of that. So many doing things like that throughout the entire day. I mean, I know at this point I've rambled and I'm probably way off topic, but like so much of the wedding day has little to do with the footage you're getting.
Exactly. Yeah, I completely agree. Especially in the beginning of the day, like you said, like you're literally making those connections that are going to last throughout the day, like the rest of the day. And you know, that could lock you in for referrals into the future. Like you said, like talking to them in the morning when no one's talking to them. And then they're going to refer you to everyone in South Carolina.
I gotta do a little whiteboard presentation. We're gonna do that at one point. I'm just gonna like Love hold it. It a little whiteboard. Spheres of influence from one wedding, and here's who the spheres of influence. You have one bride, and that bride can reach two people. But then you have the mother of the bride who has three friends, and each of those three friends have three daughters. There's nine people. And then you have a planner who knows all these people who have this many couple. Like, man.
Yeah, it's legit the butterfly effect. Like, there's...
It's one conversation with one planner can reach the ear of four other planners who have 15 couples each who don't have video.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. And it's not like, that's not your MO. That's not like you don't do that because I want to get more work.
Yeah.
You know that's a byproduct of your relationships and your interactions with people. That's not why you do it, but you know... Man, if I do my job well, sure, my video might suck, but half these people don't even know a good video from a bad video. They're just gonna remember, man, he made me feel good on the wedding day. Like, I was upset, he came and cheered me up. That's what they're gonna remember.
Yep.
And that's all part of that experience. And man, we've hopped from one topic to another.
I love it though, it's great. All right, let's wrap this up. If any of you guys have any questions, you want anything answered on the podcast, definitely leave that in the description box or in the comment section. Our main goal here is to create a community of, you know, wedding videographers, a healthy community that, you know, we can just bounce questions off each other and show each other our plans.
Our plants?
What was that? Is that a real plant or a fake plant?
No, that's a real succulent.
Love it, man. My girlfriend got a succulent and it died within a month. I was like, I don't think you're allowed to water the plants anymore.
Well, you got those nice sunflowers behind you.
Yeah,
probably can't see it in your
they're,
video.
They're alive for now.
They're alive for now.
All right, we appreciate you guys, and until next time, see you.
Peace.